All right, let's take our Bibles today and turn to the book of Ephesians, chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 for the message this morning. And I want to read a couple of verses to you today. And I'm going to speak this morning on this subject, the role of mother. The role of mother. And I want you to just listen very carefully to what I have to say today. I trust it'll be an encouragement and a blessing and a help to all of our mothers out there, but also be a help to everyone as we think about the role of mother today. I'll begin reading, please, in, verse 21. Verse 21, the Bible says, Ephesians 5:21, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Now notice in verse 25, Paul then switches from the responsibility and the role of the wife to the role of the husband. And in verse 25, he says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So there's in verse 21 through verse 24, there's the role of the mother, and then verse 22, and then verse 23 down to verse 25 is the role of the husband. Now jump down, please, verse 30. It says, for we are members of his body and of his flesh and of his bones. So we are a part of one body, and that one body is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want you to keep your Bible open here, and I want to give you an introduction to the message, and then I think you will very quickly see where I want to go in the sermon this morning. But let's pray real quick, and we will ask the Lord to bless and help us. So let's pray real quick. Father, we ask now your blessings upon us. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for allowing us the privilege to be able to open the Bible and to look at its truths. And Father, help us today to see what the Bible has to say about the role of the wife, of the mother. Help us to see the role of the Father. And Father, help us then briefly, we will just briefly at the end look at chapter 6 and verse 1 and the role of the children. So Father, we all have a role to play. We all have responsibilities and duties that we must guard and we must work at and strive to get accomplished. So, Father, I pray you'll help us this morning to understand our role and then to do it. So bless now, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. When you read the Bible, whether it's the Old Testament or the New Testament, you cannot help but notice the importance and the role that that women and mothers have had upon this world. There are so many mothers in the Bible who have impacted the people of the Bible, and there are so many women in the Bible that play a tremendous role and a tremendous responsibility. And so I want us to concentrate this morning on the role that women and mothers have made upon this world. Did you know that one of the greatest soul winners in the Bible was a woman? Did you know that? Yes, we read, for example, in John 4 about the Samaritan woman. And you'll remember that she came to the well at noon hour when the sun was at its highest. And she came to draw water. She did not want to come when it would be crowded with others, with other women drawing water for their house and for their family. And so she came at the hottest time of the day so that no one would be there. But when she got to the well, the Lord Jesus was there, and he started a conversation with her. And we are told that after that conversation, she went running back into town where she lived, into the city of Samaria. And she said to everybody in town, "Come see a man what told me all things that ever I did." And we read that the whole town came out to see and to hear the Lord Jesus. Now, I don't know if you've ever really thought about this, but if you remember the story, there were 12 preachers, evangelists. There were 12 soul winners already in the town of Samaria. They had been in the town all morning. They had been there for a couple of hours, and yet not a single one of them led a single soul to Christ. But here in John 4 is a fallen woman, a woman of ill repute, a woman who, think about this now, had never been baptized, a woman who was not a member of a church anywhere, and she convinces the whole town to come out with her to meet the Lord Jesus. That's amazing, folks. That's just absolutely amazing. So that's why I say that one of the greatest soul winners in the Bible was a woman. Did you know that perhaps the greatest giver in the Bible was a woman? That's right. The Lord Jesus was standing one day over by the treasury at the temple and was noticing the people who were coming to place their offerings upon the altar. And while he was watching and the Pharisees with him, in came a little widow lady. And as humble and as poor as she could be, she walked in and placed two mites, two little pieces of money. She put two little pennies upon the altar, and the Lord Jesus said that this gal had given all that she had. She did not give a portion of what she had. She gave everything that she had, even all of her living. And so she just might well have been the greatest giver in the Bible. But even if she was is not the greatest giver, she was greatly honored in the or by the Lord Jesus, and the Lord Jesus has forever immortalized her as using her as an example of giving unto God. Now, without a doubt, some of the greatest Bible stories have mothers, and they have women at the very heart of the story. Think for just a moment of the baby Moses. And in that story, you see Mama, her name was Jochebed, and then you see his sister, her name was Miriam, and then you see Pharaoh's daughter. And she's the one, you remember, who took the baby Moses after Miriam had the Jochebed's permission to put him in a little basket and kind of stick him in the reeds where Pharaoh's daughter would come to wash herself. And so those three women had a very important role in the story of Moses. And then who could forget the story of Samuel? I mean, with his mother Hannah, who after she prayed and God gave her a little baby boy, she turned right around and gave that baby boy back to the Lord. And Samuel became one of the greatest men of God in our Old Testament. And then there's Deborah holding back the forces of Sisera. And then there is Abigail kneeling at the foot of the mountain until 400 angry, wrathful men stopped and turned back. And then there is Ruth, the queen of the harvest field, and a woman who is, because of her faith and how God used her in the ancestral line of our Savior, the Lord Jesus. And then you get from the Old Testament into the New Testament. And of course, there's Mary, the mother of our Savior. And then there's that that wonderful woman, Mary Magdalene. And there is then the Syrophoenician woman who without promise or without any expectation pleaded with the Lord Jesus for her daughter who was grievously vexed with a devil. And the faith that this woman exercised was just absolutely amazing. And it impressed the Lord Jesus. And then there is Dorcas in the book of Acts. And she made clothes for the poor. And you cannot help but see the love that she poured into every single stitch that she sewed. And I could go on and on and on. There's Mary and Martha, and I cannot name all of the mothers and all of the women who were so greatly used of God in the Bible. So on this Mother's Day, I want us to consider just a few things about mothers and about women in general that I hope will be an encouragement and will stir your hearts for the Lord. The first thing I want us to look at this morning is this. I want us to think about the value of a mother. So far as a mother's value is concerned, it is impossible to put a price upon that. Let me remind you that Solomon said of the virtuous woman that her price is far beyond rubies, far above rubies. What a value is the mother in a home. You see, mom's influence really has no limit. There is no way that I or anybody else could possibly put any type of a limitation upon the influence that mom has. I want you just to think about that influence for a moment. Mom does so much more than any of us really realize. She enforces the law in the home. And some of you young people know that to be true. She enforces the law. She practices medicine in the home. She is a teacher, especially now in this world that we're living in today. And she may not even have a degree in education, yet she amazingly handles all the homework and schoolwork that needs to be done in the family. She handles the food supply in the home, and she administers the medications in the home. She is an emergency room doctor, and she applies first aid on a regular basis. She also is the comforter and the encourager, and she is the one that rubs the bruised knot to help it feel better. And she tests for all the spiritual and the physical and the emotional needs of those who are under her care. Folks, the truth is, we all literally place our lives and the lives of our children in mother's hands. We all literally place ourselves at mom's disposal. So that is why I say to you today that mom's influence has no limits. Down in Kentucky, many, many years ago, there was a sweet, godly mother who used to sit every evening around the stove. The stove in their house, the wood stove in their house, and tell Bible stories to her little boy. She loved that little guy with everything she had. And she was not highly educated herself, but she was as perceptive and as intelligent as she could be. And she taught that little boy the value of the truth. She taught him from the Bible, and she taught him how he should allow and let the Bible guide his every step. She taught her little fella that the worst thing in the world was a hypocrite. She said that the noblest thing in the world is an honest, true, and good man. And that little boy grew up to be the 16th president of the United States. His name was Abraham Lincoln. And when his godly mother passed away, he said, "All I am and all that I will ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." Let me tell you something, folks. I want you just to think about this for a moment. Every drug addict, every alcoholic, every drunkard, every prostitute, every pimp once sat on mother's knee and learned from a mother's lips and listened to a mother's song. Dr. Rice used to say all the time, the best way to get rid of drunkards is to stop raising them. And that's a good point. Mom, let me tell you something. Don't ever give up on the training and the love and the teaching of your children. Don't ever give up. I simply cannot overemphasize to you the importance of the role that you have in this world. And again, folks, think about it. Did not God the Father place his own son in the loving arms of a woman? Why, yes, he most certainly did. He put him in the arms of Mary, his mother. So, Mom, listen, you might be sitting there this morning with a little one in your arms right now, and you might be holding, think about it, the next Curtis Hudson in your hands. You may be holding in your lap right now the next John R. Rice. You could be holding right now the next Glenn Matthews. You just don't know what God is going to do with that little child that you have in your arms right now. And I'm just simply saying to you that eternal destinies are placed in a woman's hands. Don't you remember when the Apostle Paul was writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, he said these words, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee also." So I want you to notice there, Paul gave not only Timothy's mother Eunice credit for Timothy's faithful service to God, but he also gave credit to Timothy's godly grandmother. She also had a part in the raising and the training of Timothy. So folks, realize the value. Moms, realize the value that you are in your home. Your children are depending upon your godliness, upon your faithfulness, upon your holiness, upon your righteousness. Your children are depending upon that for their benefit. Then the second thing I want you to consider with me this morning. Secondly, consider the drama of this thing we call life. Now, when I'm talking about drama here, I'm not using the word the way folks use it today, you know, drama, drama, drama. You mentioned the word teenager, and it's followed normally by drama. But I'm not talking about drama in that way. I'm talking about drama as in the action, as in the role. And so consider the drama of this thing that we call life. God designed the home on purpose, folks. When God created the home, he created the home on purpose. It was not just haphazardly, without thought, thrown together. No, sir. The home is designed on purpose. Now, I want you to listen carefully. Follow my thinking here as carefully as you can. You and I have no choice in the role that we play in this drama. When you were conceived, God Almighty assigned you a body. Now, I know the government has tried to come along and change all that, and they can try all they want. But the simple truth of the matter is, you are what you are. You were born that way, and let me tell you, nothing is going to change that. You are what you are. So let's not get into all the technicality. That's another sermon, and that's for another day. But let's think about the drama, the role that you and I play in this drama. And when you and I were conceived, God Almighty assigned you and me a body. Now, if God assigned you a female body, the role you play in the drama is that you are a picture of the church. You are a picture of the church. Now, if you go back and look at our text, the Bible says in verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." So your role, mom, your role is that you are a picture of the church. Now, if God gave you, if God assigned you a male body, then the role you play in this drama that we call life is this. You, men, are a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's the thing. You don't have to worry or even wonder about which one you are to act out. You don't even have to worry about that. And the reason you don't have to worry about that is because we have right here in Ephesians 5 the script of the drama. The script is right here. It's already written out for us. This is already, it's already determined by God Almighty what the what we're supposed to do. And you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to fret about it. You don't have to fret about how to act or how it's going to all play out. No, because you see, the script has already been written. The script has already been given to us. And folks, you cannot change your role. Your role, your part, has been already assigned to you. And it's right here in the script. If you're a woman, then God says, this is your role. If you are a man, then God says, this is your role. As a woman, you are a picture of the church. And as the man in the home, you are the picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. So you cannot change your role. The very minute that you stood before authority and they asked you, do you? And you said, I do. And you were pronounced husband and wife. The curtain is lifted and the drama begins. And listen, folks, you cannot stop it. You cannot stop it. It unfolds day after day until death do you part. The drama that we are performing is one where the husband and the wife picture certain things. The husband pictures Christ, and the wife pictures the church. If only we could get men and women to read together, to understand together Ephesians 5, 21 to 31, and then get the children to understand chapter 6, verse 1 through, we'll say verse 3, if we could just get the mother, the dad, the children to read the Word of God, the script, and find out what their part is, and then perform their part, I'm telling you, we could solve just about all of the marital problems that couples create in their marriages. We could solve all the problems that that parents have with their children and that children have with their parents. You see, folks, God is the producer in this drama. And the earth is the stage where the drama is carried out. And then you and I are the actors in the drama. And here's the good news. The Holy Spirit of God is the director in the drama. And right here, folks, the Word of God is the script. Now, it's no more complicated than that, although that is pretty complicated, isn't it? The script tells us what is the role of the wife, and the script tells us what is the role of the husband, and the script tells us what is the role of the children. So let's just think about the picture that this shows us. You see, according to the verses that I read to you, and look carefully at them now while I explain this, a wife is to be unto her husband what the church is to the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the church to the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, the church is submissive and obedient to the Lord. Now, I know that you're sitting there right now, and when I said the word submissive, you felt the hackles on the back of your neck begin to stiffen up, and you said, well then what's the husband's role? Well, I'll deal with that in the middle of June, all right, when we get to Father's Day. How about that? But right now it's Mother's Day, so let me just talk for a moment about the role of the wife, the role of the woman in the home. And you can imagine how much better off our homes would be if all of us would simply do our role in the home with a joyful heart. But you see, what happens is every good thing that God gives us, the devil comes along and wants to destroy it. He wants to mess it up. And that's exactly what Satan does. But what happens is the devil enters in and he does all he can do to get husbands and wives and children to do the exact opposite of what the scriptures tell us our role truly is. Instead of the wife being in submission to her husband, the devil sneaks in and he gets the husband to be this little mealy mouth, no spine, no convictions of his own, little puppet who does everything that his wife tells him to do. And that's not just around the house. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking also about spiritual things. I'm talking also about decisions relating to the spiritual side of the family. And you see, folks, that is the opposite of what God wants. And so the wife says, and I know the argument, I've heard it 1,000 times. The wife says this, well, he won't take charge and lead, so I have to do it. Well, I know you think you have to do it, but you don't have to do it. And if I were you, I wouldn't do it. I would do what the Bible says that I'm supposed to do. And then I would take Ephesians 5 and I would stick it under his nose and highlight the verses that you want him to read, and then look him in the eye and say, now, hon, this is the way it's going to be. From now on, you are going to make the spiritual decisions in this house. From now on, you are going to be the high priest in this home. And you allow him to have the responsibility to do what God said he's supposed to do. But you take your hands off of it. Your job is not to be the high priest in the home. It is his job. You say, well, he won't do it. Yes, he will. If you show him and you quit doing it, then he will step up and do what he's supposed to do. But you have to show him from the word of God what he's supposed to do. So you just have a little conversation where you sit down together and you take Ephesians 5, the script, and you actually learn your parts together. I remember many years ago when I was down in West Virginia, a couple came one time for counseling, and we sat there for a while, and the man said absolutely nothing. I mean, he didn't even grunt. He just sat there and looked at me and looked at my desk and looked at my books and looked at the ceiling and looked at the floor, but he never said a word. And so after about 20 minutes of his wife telling me what a knucklehead he was, I finally looked over at the couple and I said, well, let me read you what the Bible says. And so I started reading Ephesians 5. When I got to the part there where it says in verse 22, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, Well, let me tell you, she blew a gasket, and she looked over with fire in her eyes, and she said to me, "Well, preacher, I can tell you right now, I am not submitting to him." And ladies, listen, that's your role. Now, I didn't write this, so don't get mad at me. I did not write this. I'm just telling you what Paul said right here. And Paul got this from the Holy Spirit of God. And so this is the Bible. And if you got a problem with this, take it up with God. I didn't write it. But I said to her, but ma'am, that's what God says you're supposed to do. And that's why you guys are having the problems that you're having. And I looked at him and I said, "Now, sir, are you ever going to say anything?" And he looked at me and he paused a minute. And then he kind of smirked and said, "Well, I probably would say something if it were possible that I could get a word in edgewise." And boy, she really blew then. But we got him settled down and began to show her that she could submit to him if he would do what he's supposed to do. You see, ladies, that's why you're having trouble submitting. It's because your spouse, your husband, is not playing his role. So you've got to both be doing what you're both supposed to be doing. And if you are, then I guarantee you it becomes a whole lot easier for the wife to do her role. I like to think of submission as being an attitude, not an action. So think about it that way. That may help you quite a bit. I like to think of submission as being an attitude and not an action. Look at it this way. Submission is an attitude and obedience is an action. And that's what Paul says here. He says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husband." So it's pretty simple that our roles are spelled out for us. And you know, I just wish beyond anything. I think it's probably my greatest wish. I wish that the men of today would stand up and be the spiritual leader in their homes that they ought to be. We wouldn't have all of this church hopping stuff that goes on in our society today, in our country today, if the men would play their role according to the Bible. You see, Christ is the head of the church. It's not the other way around. The church is not the one telling Christ what to do. No, it's Christ telling the church what to do. And in this passage, the man is a picture of Christ and the woman is a picture of the church. So remember this crucial matter. You are not responsible for how your husband plays his role, but you are responsible for how well you play your role. All right. Now, very quickly, what does the script tell us about the children? All right. So let me just take a second here. Look at verse 1 of chapter 6. The Bible says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother." You know, one of the best ways, young people, that you can honor your father and your mother. Listen carefully now. Don't sass, don't talk back. That's one of the greatest ways you can honor your father and your mother. But isn't it something that the devil comes along and puts this thing called an attitude in you. And the next thing you know, everything mom says, everything dad says, there has to be a sarcastic comeback. Well, let me tell you, you're not honoring mom and dad when you do that. Those two people took care of you when you could not take care of yourself. Those two people fed you when you could not feed yourself. They have loved you. They have bought you clothes. They have provided you a home. And then when you get 13, 14, 15, all of a sudden you get this attitude and you mouth them every time they say something. Well, shame on you. That's all I can say. Shame on you. And you need to apologize and make up your mind that you're going to start doing what the Bible says here is your role in the family. So honor thy father and thy mother. Now notice, Paul put a parenthesis right there, and he said, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. That's the promise. That is the promise. So you see, the role, the responsibility, the script says that children are to be obedient to their parents. And young people, listen, this is the only commandment that God gave which comes with a caveat. And that caveat is that Paul said it's the only one with a promise that is connected to it. Well, what is that caveat? What is that promise? Well, here it is. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long on the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. You see, folks, if you want to young people, listen, if you want to live long on this earth, then you best honor your father and your mother. I'm sure that there have been a lot of people who have gone on into eternity early simply because they dishonored their father and their mother. Let me tell you something, folks. The role of mother is the greatest role. Why? Because mother has the responsibility of loving and of child bearing and of child raising. Oh, that's not to say the father doesn't have a part. Please don't. I'm not saying that. You know me well enough. I'm not saying the father doesn't have any responsibility. But what I am saying is that the role of the mother is the greatest role. Did you know that Nero's mother was a murderess? That's right. It's no wonder she gave birth to one of the most ruthless men that this world has ever known. But did you know that Joanna Wesley, John and Charles's mother, was a godly person, and she loved those boys day in and day out from the time they were born. And every night she fervently prayed over those boys, and she taught them the word of God. And she prayed daily for her sons to turn out right and for them to be greatly used of God. And look how they turned out. You see, no doubt about it, a mother's influence will always impact the children that she brings into this world. Make no mistake about it. But children are to obey their parents. They are to honor their parents. And yet, there is so much rebellion among today's young people. Why is that? Well, because there's a real devil. So young people, listen, I beg you, play your role. Read here what the Bible says is your responsibility in the home. Dad, you read what's your role. Mom, you read what's your role. And then children, you read what is your role in the family. You see, We need to take this matter of the home seriously. And the reason is because God the Father takes seriously the family structure. God made it this way. And when we attempt to make a mockery out of what God has established, we are treading into dangerous territory. So the bottom line is this: we all have a role to play. The family is such a beautiful thing when everyone is playing the role that God has written for them to play. It's right here in the script. And for our purposes today, the role God has given to the mother is one that is filled with value and hope. The person who has the greatest influence on us is our mother. And if you're blessed today to still have your mother with you, I beg you to thank God for her. And I beg you, if you can, if it's possible, go and wrap your arms around her and thank her for what she instilled in you and what she gave you to get you to where you are in this life. Love her and appreciate her and make her feel that she is the best thing on this planet. But, you know, not just on Mother's Day, but we ought to do this every day. I have so many folks in heaven that I am longing to see again. There's a lot of people that have called me pastor through the years, and I am longing to see them again. I've got family members up there. I've got aunts and uncles and my grandfather and my grandmother. I never knew her, but and then my mom's parents knew the Lord. And of course, I want to see my wonderful Savior, but I absolutely cannot wait to see my mother again. That woman had the greatest influence of any person in this world upon my life. And I think that there is probably not a day goes by but what I don't think about her. I think I'm safe in saying that. I mean, I think about her. I look at my grandkids and I think, wow, what would Mom do to be able to hold one of these kids in her arms? I look at my mom and I say, wow, if Mom were still living, I know beyond a shadow of doubt that Mom and Dad would live in Westminster, Maryland. There's no doubt they would have moved here when Dad retired. No doubt about it. But you see, Mother has that kind of an influence upon you. So Mom, happy Mother's Day, and may God bless you on this day that's been set aside in your honor. We love you and we thank God for you. And Mom, we want you to know how much we appreciate you. So would all of you today just read Ephesians 5 and the first couple of verses in Ephesians 6. Just read it and then say, this is the script. God the Father is the director. This world that I live in is the stage. And we all have a responsibility in this thing called life. So let's all get in our role and play our role to the best of our ability. And may God give us the strength to do that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. And I pray you'll bless this to our hearts today. We thank you for all the mothers that are that are listening today, and I pray you'll bless each one. Father, I pray that all of the children will realize what a blessing Mom is, that they will just take a moment and look back and see all the scraped knees and all the fevers and all the colds and and all the childhood failures and the hard times and the good times and the Christmases and, Father, the vacations, all the things that Mom made so special as we were growing up. Traditions, things that were instilled within us. And Father, may we appreciate what Mom has done. And if we're sitting here today saved and on our way to heaven, just about in probably most of the cases, Mom has had a hand in that. And so, Father, I pray that you will help us to realize the value of Mother. And may we rejoice, put our arms around Mom, and just thank her for who she is. So, Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. And I pray that you'll give us a great day. I pray you'll bring us back tonight at 6 and ready to receive your word once again. For we pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.